Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's always an honor and a privilege to be afforded the opportunity from God to be able to go before his people. And I'm thankful. And I thank each and every one of you who calls and your commitment to coming together, to fellowship together, the body of Christ, where we be on one accord. And your commitment is strong. Because you call back week after week. And I'm sure sometime it could be something in your schedule that you have to put aside to press your way through. But I want you to know that God honors it. And we were created to give God glory. And that's what we are doing. And I am thankful and I'm grateful. Our lesson tonight is to grow, you have to put in the work. To grow, you have to put in the work. I'm coming from 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 1 through 10. And as always, we play a song, we go to God's throne of grace, because that's what we should do. And that's what we do. Time, I'm going to play the song. The title of the song is Justified. I thought it was appropriate and fit with our title for the night and our scriptures. Because the scriptures is telling us we are justified by Jesus Christ. The ability for us to grow comes from Jesus Christ and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So I thought this song was appropriate, and I'm going to play it at this time, and then we're going to explore on the Word of God together.
If my sins had their way, I never would have made it with a debt I just couldn't afford to pay. He came and saved me when the enemy said that I couldn't. God said, go ahead, because you're covered by my awesome, awesome, powerful blood.
I should have
never kept alive.
This is what he won't let you fall.
listen, I got some testimonies, listen. Just like Nineveh that was headed for destruction, God stepped in and he said,
not guilt.
You're gonna live and you won't see the day of destruction. Just like Daniel, who was condemned to the lion's den, God said,
not guilt.
You're gonna live. If it had been for the grace of God, you would have been, you could have been, yeah, listen, hey, to the liar,
not guilt,
to the cheater,
not guilt,
to the deceiver,
not guilt,
even to the believer,
not guilt,
there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, yeah, yeah.
That he's doing for you, He's keeping you from danger seen and unseen, things you don't even realize God is protecting you. So give him his props. Give him his props where props is due. God did it. And at this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace. And if anyone on the line would like to accept this invitation that's coming from God for someone to pray on this line at tonight, you can press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic. God provides the opportunity. If anyone would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our rock, our sword, and our shield. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight as humble as I know how. Lord, I realize that everything that happens in our lives is because of you. Lord, I thank you that there is no more condemnation, dear God. Lord, I thank you that the blood can take away the sins of the world. Lord, I thank you for your son as he sat at your right hand interceding for our behalf. I thank you for your spirit, which is your nature, that you allow to live and dwell inside of us, dear God. And God, it has never been that we've been so good. Oh, we've been so kind. But it's because of you, dear God, and your loving kindness towards us. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your healing power. I thank you for your ability to give finances to those in need, because the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein belongs to you, and you have it. And you graciously give it to us. God, I have to say thank you right now. Lord, I thank you for everything that you ever did, what you're doing right now, and what you promised to do. I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity that you have granted us to come together tonight to fellowship in the word of God as the body of Christ, one body with many members, dear God. Thank you that we are inducted into the household of faith. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your will, and I thank you for your way. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I decrease as you increase. Holy Spirit, have your way with this lesson on tonight. Hallelujah. And dear Lord God, I thank you. And Lord, let the information that I give, that the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation, and the word accomplish what it set out to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. God is a loving God. God loves us more than we can love ourselves. And our lesson tonight, I'm going to say the title again because so many people has called in. Glory be to God. The title of our lesson tonight is to grow. I'm talking about growing in the things of God. You have to put in the work. There's so many people that say they know God. There's so many people that maybe really understand that they're saved. But our salvation is not predicated on our deeds. But if you examine it for 1 minute and realize the price that Jesus Christ paid for you, God who created you and has given you everything necessary for you, you should want to do the work. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't create yourself. But you can do some work. And I'm going to do a background like I always do. And my background is going to be on St. Peter. You know, I have to start off saying this that would be in order with our lesson on tonight. You see, no one, when we started our Christian walk, or became a Christian, none of us entered full grown. We all entered as babes. Hallelujah. You see, when Peter wrote the book, 2 Peter, it was several years after he first encountered Jesus Christ. You see, Peter was a disciple of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Peter also wrote 1 Peter, the book 1 Peter. But I want to stop there and just take you through this journey of Peter life and look at it for a while. You see, if we look at the life of Peter, we will realize that Peter was enthusiastic. He was very strong-willed and many times impulsive. He was also arrogant and sometimes cocky. It was said that Peter had a mouth like a sailor. I'm talking about Peter who wrote 1 and 2 Peter now, who became a disciple of God. You see, Peter became the spokesperson for the disciple. And it was partly because of his boldness and his aggressiveness and, you know, arrogantness and everything like that, outspokenness. He became the spokesperson for the disciple. And he did it boldly. Even sometimes he was incorrect. You see, Peter was one of God's closest friends, an apostle, and a pillar of the church. But with all of his strength, Peter had several failures in his life. And I'm going to just give you some of them. You see, Peter was the one who rebuked Jesus when Jesus told the disciples that he would suffer, be killed, and then crucified. Hallelujah. And that in 3 days he would rise. You know, Peter being so headstrong and like plenty of people think they know everything. Peter rebuked Jesus. Because he wasn't ready to hear that. He had, maybe you could say, good intention. But he, number one, was out of order. And number two, why would Jesus be lying to him? But he just didn't want to hear it because that's not what he wanted. You see, Peter was the one that cut the soldier ear off in the Garden of Gethsemane. And guess what? He thought that he was right. He was protecting his Lord. You know, one time Peter began to walk on water and he sank. You see, the same Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Now, all of this was before God allowed him to write 1 and 2 Peter. Now, so follow me. But through it all, Peter kept pressing towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, we all fall short of the glory of God sometimes, just like Peter in our lives. We're not perfect. And I come to tell you tonight, God is not looking for your perfection, but he's always looking for your direction. And even though Peter made all of those mistakes, and sometimes he was acting like a babe, he kept pressing. And that's what we have to do in our lives. You see, we have to do like Peter. When he fell, he got up, he repented, and he kept it moving. You see, by continuing to grow in grace, now watch how you grow in grace, by the knowledge of God, Peter became mature. Come on, y'all. He now understands fully the word of God, and he began to do the work. You see, Peter, if he could sit down and have a conversation with us and say when he looked back over his life, you know, that's what I say a lot of time. If when I look back over my life, if Peter could have a conversation as he looked back over his life, he would tell you that he realized that when he rebuked Jesus, he was leaning to his own understanding. He would tell you when he cut the ear of the soldier off, he now realized and remembers 2 Chronicles 20:15, which said, "Thus said the Lord unto you." And he realized that the battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. And you see, when he denied Jesus 3 times, he realized that it was out of fear. And he remembers really now 2 Chronicles 20:15. Thus said the Lord unto you. God is telling us this, y'all. Be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You see, he wanted to take on the fight, but Jesus knew his time was there. When they came to get him in Acts, who was Jesus? He said, "Here am I." Jesus was pressing on towards the mark of saving the world from sin. He was following what his father had asked him to do. And he was ready, willing, and able. And you see, Peter jumped in there and cut the man off. But 2 Chronicles tell us that plenty of these battles is not ours. And we have to sometime decide what battles is really ours in our lives. Many of us is fighting battles that don't even belong to you. And you really think you're doing a good thing. But see, the battles that don't belong to you, you can't make the difference be what you think it need to be that would make it good. And you see, you got to realize everything you want for somebody, if that's not what they don't want, if that's not what they want at the time, no matter what you do, it's going to be enough. But you're fighting that battle. And Peter realized when he denied Jesus 3 times, it was because of fear. But 2 Timothy 1:7 said, God has not given us a fear, spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And he could have held on to the confession of his faith, erased fear. Fear and faith can't go together. If you always fearful about everything, that fear diminishes your faith. And when you strong and holding on to the confession of your faith, that faith could knock fear out. You see, when Peter was walking on the water and he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And that's what happened in our lives a lot of time. We're going to take things in our own hands. Sometimes we might even pray to God, but before God could answer, we done stepped in and start doing what we think is necessary until it get all messed up. But I come to tell you, through it all, the Lord who chose him before the foundation of the world, and he continued to mold and shape him into exactly who he intended Peter to be. God is molding and shaping us into our intended purpose that he had designed for us before the foundation of the world. Come on, y'all. But we got to cooperate. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. God knows what's best for you. God knows where he's trying to bring you to. But every now and then you put the brakes on. God say go east and you want to go west. God say keep moving and you want to stop. Peter began to put in the work. You see, when Jesus chose Peter, he was a babe in Christ, like all of us. But he saw beyond who he was. God did. He stopped looking. He didn't look at Peter for who he was right then and there, but who he could become. Hallelujah, y'all. See, God has a master plan for all of our lives. He's in total control, and we must trust that what Philippians 1:6 says, and no matter where you are in life right now, I'm going to give you this scripture right now. No matter where you are, no matter how you feel, you know, some of us feel we don't pray enough. We're not giving God enough time. We're not giving financially to the kingdom building enough. You know, so sometimes you start getting into condemnation, which the Bible says there's no condemnation, but we begin to condemn ourselves. So we, you know, kind of walking around a little melancholy and in reference to the things of God because we think we're not good enough. But you don't get to choose that. You see, God didn't look at Peter as he was, but how he would become. And that's what he's doing with us. Just trust him. And I just take this scripture. Philippians 1:6 says, he who had begun a good work in you will perform the work in you until the day that Jesus Christ returns. When Jesus Christ returns for us, y'all, we're going to be out of here. But until then, the scripture says, he that begun the work in you is able to perform it until Jesus come back. That ought to be confidence for somebody. Just trust him. God got it. You see, as we grow, we understand that the word of God is that which gives us the knowledge of God and the grace of God, which is activated by faith in Christ. You see, the grace, God's grace, is activated by your faith. Your faith gives you more and more grace. You grow in grace by your faith because your faith activates your grace in Jesus Christ. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, you're going to become a mature Christian. Everybody don't mature at the same time, so don't be discouraged. And the maturing that you do is not the maturing that God wants others to do because everything is not for everybody. So you could just sit down and take a little seat. What God has for you is for you. We can see what God did for Peter. And I come to tell you tonight, he'll do the same for you. Here we see that God don't allow our past to dictate our future. So those who holding on to your past and say God can't use you because you did A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. God don't allow your past to dictate your future. Just keep pressing towards the mark. Keep trusting. Keep walking in your faith. Because I want to just tell you, if you want more, and I'm just, you know, I'm Diane Adams, words of wisdom, plain and so here I go with the simple. If you want more, you have to do more. That's like the thing of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. You sow plentiful, you receive plenty. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Come on, y'all. That ain't rocket science. So you love God and you say you're a Christian, but you don't put in no work. Something ain't right with that picture. But I tell you, God still love you. Because putting in more work don't make him love you no more. God can't love you no more than he love you right now. But because of everything that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has done, doing, and promised to do, you should want to put in some work. God is our Heavenly Father. We are his children. How many of y'all always try to get your children to do some work? And all of the, if they're grown now, you're sorry you didn't get them to do more work. So if you want more, you have to do more. To grow, you have to put in the work. Plain and simple. So I'm going into the scripture, 2 Peter, the first chapter. I'm in reading verse 1 and verse 2. And the scripture reads, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. He said, look, I'm writing to everybody who got faith like I have, who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have faith with us through the righteousness of God, not righteousness of yourself. We could never be righteous. Unrighteousness is what separated us from God. When Jesus died, he removed the veil so that we could have access in a relationship with God again. Because of our sin nature that we inherited from Adam, we could never be righteous enough to enter into an intimate relationship with God on our own. God said, just like God fixed everything else, God said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. If you accept my son as your savior, I'm going to extend my righteousness towards you. And it'll be enough for you to have a relationship with me. A one-on-one, personal, intimate, and ownership. He said, the righteousness of God and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 2 said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now look what he said. Grace and peace can be multiplied to you when you know more about God and Jesus. Come on, y'all. The less you know, the less your faith, the less your grace. You see, that's why some people, no matter what happens in their life, they could stand tall and keep it moving. And everybody say, I don't understand how they just didn't fall out. Now, I'm not saying a person that falls out don't have faith, because some we are human, so we emotional. But I'm talking. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The ones who could take the lickings and keep on ticking. A situation could rise and they rise above it. The ones who just keep looking up and not do as Peter, take their eyes off of God. And you see, late in the midnight hour, they might get the word of God and say, no weapon formed against me. But if you don't know it, you can't say it. See, you don't have on the armor of God to fight your situations. And that's why you always feel unprotected. God has put everything out here for us. No one is going to be able to ever tell God why you didn't. You should have, could have. God has done his work. Now it's time for us to do our work. Verse 3 through 8. And look how he did it. According as his divine power, God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. The scriptures say God has given us all things. He didn't save us and want work from us and didn't tell us how to do it and didn't give us the material to do it and didn't dress us in an armor. Come on, y'all. Didn't give us the word of God, the 66 books, and leave his Holy Spirit. Come on, y'all. Whereby, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. After he gave you everything, he promised to even do more. Do you know the promises of God? Well, they're in the word of God. So if you don't know the promises of God, it's because you don't read the word of God. So you don't even know what promises God has for you. And then it says that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature. See, our nature is flawed. We inherit our sin nature from Adam's. But they say God has did all of this that we could partake in his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 5, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is a great characteristic trait to have. So you have faith, but do you have virtue? And if you have virtue, you need to add to it knowledge. Come on, y'all. And then 6 says, and to the knowledge, you got to have temperament, self-control to represent God. And then if you get the temperament, you need patience. And to patience, add godliness. Come on, y'all. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. God say, how can you not stand your brother and love me who you never seen? We got to fix up some of these relationships, y'all. See, the godliness will produce brotherly love. We have broken relationships. And many times we feel it's all right. Now, I'm not telling you somebody don't want to have a relationship with you. It could be a sister, brother, mama, daddy, whoever, that you could force it. But you can't have animosity towards them in your heart. And even though they don't want a relationship, sometimes it may come up that they need you. But he said brotherly kindness comes from godliness. And to brotherly kindness, you got to give charity. And charity, sometimes definition is love, and is also given. Look what it says now in verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren, which is mean non-producing, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you start putting these traits in your life, you're going to become fruitful. You're not going to be barren. When you have them in you, you're going to be able to draw other people to God. But you see, if you're barren, you become unprofitable. You see, in the Bible, the scripture told us that God has given all these things to us that pertain to life and godliness. So if you have these things or have received them, these things, I could just ask you right now, what are you doing? What have you done with them lately? Everybody could tell somebody about somebody who could save everybody. You don't have to know everything. Sometimes a person just needs encouragement. Sometimes people are so happy that you've thought about them. There's many ways and many things that we can do. But we need to all be about doing something. And the next scripture speaks of, hallelujah, verse 9. But he that lacked these things, the virtue, the godliness, come on, y'all, the faith, the things that was in the scripture, knowledge of God, temperament, patience, are you lacking these things? Now, you have to answer that question for yourself. I'm only giving a word. The scripture says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know how you can see somebody who got saved and they don't never act like it? And it makes you wonder what they really saved. Are people that you look at and they're Christians, holy, roly, go to the church, knock the church down, pay big tithes, always showing up at the church, showing up to show off, and all of these things. But you can't see any of the virtues in their life. Because we got to remember, only those things we do for Christ going to last. If you set out to please the preacher, God said you better make sure you get your reward from the preacher. Because he said he ain't going to have nothing to do with that. And if you're acting like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and you're doing it to be seen, he said that don't mean anything to him. He's saying if you only want to help and love on those that you love, he said, that don't show me nothing. He said, because the people in the world do that. People in the world take care of each other. Look at the hustlers on the street. Look at the wine old sitting under the tree. They get a bottle and they pass it all around. And yet we are saved and we won't even say a kind word to somebody. And even when you be in a church out, soon as the church is over, they run out the door, there's a fire in the church. And then if you talk to some of them, they'll tell you how proudly they are that they never stay there because it's just too much mess or whatever. But we go to church to fellowship. So, I mean, if we look back from the time we was going to church before the pandemic, how much fellowship was going on? Or how much fellowship was going on with you? See, God is allowing this downtime so that we could reflect. And the way we used to do it, we may have learned through this shutdown that God has a more excellent way. We always knew going to the church building couldn't save us. But if God ordained it and established it, you got to know it has some value. And if we're not reaping the benefits, it's because maybe we don't understand the values. Or we understand them, but we done just, you know, the Bible said in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you could prove the good and acceptable will of God. God set us up to be a candle on the hill so that the light could so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father. That was God's intentions. He chose a nation so his nation could love on him and he love on them, and the other nations would see it and say they wanted part of God. But man in his weakness, instead of them conforming the world is constantly conforming the church. It really is, y'all. And if we look at our last verse tonight, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, you shall never fall. And you see, the where I'm at in my life right now, I read this scripture here, and they say, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That's your salvation. That means you chose Jesus Christ, and he accepted you, and you have your salvation, and you are the elect, and you were called because you was called out of darkness into the marvelous light. So you make your calling and your election sure, for if ye do these things, you shall never fail. So I believe if I take those virtues and try to grow into them, not saying I'm already there, but recognize that they are there, and that's a part of the bullseye that I'm trying to get to. When I realize that God is not looking for my perfection, but when I always say, is he looking for your direction? What direction are you going into? The direction you going into might be a 4-mile walk, and you only doing so many little steps a day, but you keep walking till you get to the end of that 4 miles. God is pleased because he see your direction. So when I read this verse, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if you do these things, you should never fail. And I come to tell you right now, I got a lot of growing to do. I got a lot of maturing to do. But I believe that. I believe that with every bone in my body. I believe the word of God. He said, if I do that, I'll never fall. So if you fall in a lot, check yourself. If you're feeling unprofitable, check yourself. Because you see, if you really know God, if you really know God, you have to love him. You have to love him. You see, you can't really know who you are until you know who your maker is. The more you know about God, the more you will know about who you are. That's why so many people are looking for love in the wrong places. That's why some people could flip and flop all the time, because they don't know who they are. So they could become anything or anybody according to who's speaking to them. You got to know who you are. That'll help you from that record TLC, that group TLC made that record, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, but stick to the rivers and the lakes that you used to. It says, I know you're going to do it your own way, but I think you're moving too fast. So when you have these things, these virtues in you, and not that you have a minimum, but realize you need them, and you begin to press and walk in the direction of them, God will help you because he already put them there. And he ain't going to put it so far out of your reach. Hallelujah. Go for it. They're there for the asking. Everything God gave is freely, and freely you receive it. But you never fall, y'all. You see, as you grow and mature in the things of God, you will be able to say with a blessed assurance, you're going to learn. No matter how it feels, no matter how it looks, you learn that you say, okay, I belong to God, and my calling and my election is free, and none of those weapons going to form against me. And if they form, they won't prosper. I done experienced it, y'all. And they say, you're going to be able to say that God will truly work all things out together for your good. But you got to believe it. And then sometime when everything seemed to be going wrong, you could say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm mighty in God. And sometime you got to weep because we're human. And sometime you got to cry. But even as you begin to cry, you may say, weeping may endure for a night. And really believe that the joy comes in the morning. You see, that's how all of this word in the Bible, the 66 books, become real. And that's how you can make your calling and election sure. See, God called you. You didn't go looking for God. God called you, and that's what it's called, the call. You answered the call. Your calling by God to accept his son, you answered it. And you are the elect because you did. And I'm going to close with this right now. God has given us his word. We have to put in the work to grow. Glory, hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's our lesson for tonight. And at this time, we could have questions. Someone want to sing a song. Someone want to pray. Someone want to add to the lesson. It's time to talk. Anyone can press the one button on their phone. Caller, your number is 504. This is Sister Pam. Sister Pam, your mic is open, baby.
That wasn't me, but that's okay. The lesson was beautiful. I received it. I enjoyed it. And I thank God for you, and I pray that he continue to use you to bring forth this word to us each and every Wednesday and daily on your prayer line. I thank you, and I love you, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. Somebody maybe pressed the button by mistake, and then they didn't want to say anything. But they, if you press it by mistake, you know, you ain't going to have to say nothing. Caller, your number is 504-237. Your mic is open.
I just want to say thank you, Sister Diane, for the word tonight. I really enjoy it, and you keep your head and keep going and teaching us the right thing. I pray for you. Thank you, Ms. Diane. Sandra.
Yeah, I know your voice. Thank you, Sister Sandra, and I appreciate that. And I try to give it plain and simple. He said, look, if y'all do this, you're not going to fall. If you're tired of falling, check out them scriptures. And just because you check them out don't mean you're going to achieve them and be that strong. We're talking about growing from base. You got to just keep pressing. You can't start and stop and start and stop and pick up the Bible and read. You got to know him. And you got to know him for yourself. Not the way your mama said. And not the way your daddy said. But thank you so much, Sister Sandra. I love you.
Love you too.
Caller, your number is 908. Hi. Your mic open.
Good morning.
It's the Rosemary Coleman.
Good evening. How you guys doing? Listen, I enjoyed the lesson tonight. It opened my eyes and helped me feel better. Also, I had was talking to someone today, and your lesson was like confirmation for me, because what they was telling me today, you came back and did exactly. God showed me something today through somebody else. You came back to back and showed me again to make confirmation for me, and I appreciate that.
You got to thank God, because I don't know what happened with you today. But God.
Well, yeah, I do. I thank God. I do. I have one question that I need to ask you. It may kind of sound silly, but we were talking today, and you know how we always say God is in control? Well, talking to this person, they would say, we always say God is in control, but God has control. Is there a difference?
No. He's in total control. That means he has total control.
Okay. I got it.
See, when you think of God's attributes, omniscient, I need to make them, you say them, because you know you was in my Bible study, home Bible study, but God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent.
Present, yes.
You see, so the omnipotent means that he's all-powerful. He's in all control, and he has all power. That's
okay,
omnipotent.
Okay.
And then he knows everything, and that's omniscient. So that's how he know everything you're going to do before you do it. He knew this night before the foundation of the world. He knew what he wanted you to hear today, and he wanted you to have confirmation. That should make you want to love him more, that he cares that much for you. Because out of the confession of your mouth, you say that's what God did for you today.
Yes.
And that's how we begin to love on him more and more. That's how you know that you are special. That's how you know he, you know, he don't have no big eyes and little U's and no respect to person.
Amen.
But thank you, Sister Rosemary Coleman.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Diane.
Thank you. Anyone else? And we have to remember there's no such thing as the only silly question is the one you don't ask. So if that's all for tonight, we're going to go ahead out, and I'm going to use Peter to bring us out. I was reading in Peter 1, the last chapter that the last Peter wrote, this same 2 Peter had 3 chapters. And in the third chapter, the last verse, it's the 18th verse. And when Peter wrote this, this was the last writing of Peter. And I want you to know that Peter had matured so much that they was going to martyr him because of his faithfulness, and they wanted to shut him up. So they was going to martyr him. So they was going to martyr him by crucifying him on the cross. But Peter had fell so much in love and had so much reverence and respect for Jesus Christ till he told them when they got ready to do it that he didn't want to hang on the cross like God did, but turn him upside down. He didn't feel worthy to be on the cross like Jesus. Now that's growing, huh? So right before Peter was marred, his last writing in 2 Peter 3:18, and the scripture said, and it asks us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Peter, who was a babe, but he kept growing. He kept praying. And Peter leaves his last words with us. He's saying, if y'all do like I did, y'all going to be all right. Just don't give up. Just keep pressing towards the things of God. Keep learning. Keep growing. And that's 2 Peter 3:18. And I'm going to read it again, and that's it for tonight. It's going to be our benediction. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and evermore, which means now and forever. To him be the glory. To him be the glory. And that's our lesson for tonight. God bless and keep each and every one of you. And if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back here again on Wednesday night. Good night. God bless you till we meet again.